All right, we'll go ahead and get started this evening. If you would, get your hymn book and turn to page 279. 279. We'll do verses 1, 2, 4.
Thank you.
just vacuumed out the van. So we've been in the van quite a bit, you know, last week or so. But really have appreciated the youth revival, and I don't know about anybody else, but it was a real encouragement to me. I saw a pattern. I don't know if anybody else saw this, but there was a lot in the messages that the Lord gave Brother Curtis that was really directed towards us to direct towards the youth.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, especially as a parent, different things, that was a great encouragement to me. And as I said the other night, just thinking about that verse where the Bible says, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, those things that He's called us to, they are absolutely worthwhile, absolutely worth spending our time and our energy and our treasure on. And Bob talks about that, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. So just really appreciate Preacher Curtis, and appreciate Preacher Jared Sunday morning. That was a wonderful message about what Jesus did for us. And I don't know, it was just a real good week this past week. So appreciate what the Lord did for us. I wonder who's got a request of prayer that I'd like to hand this evening. Amen. Please, all these, remember these. Continue to remember Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian. Miss Sherry was just saying a little bit ago, Preacher Billy was a little bit disappointed that he did not yet get released to drive. But he can barely walk. Yeah, we miss him being here, but of course we want him to be safe, you know. So just continue to remember him. I know where their heart is. I know they want to be here with us. So. Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, everybody remembered that he'll be able to come. And I'm assuming your mom, too.
Yeah,
I figured. Is she still doing pretty well okay? Okay, good. Yeah, that seems that Monday's that's kind of the day for that, isn't it? It seems like it's been on Thursday. Oh, yeah, Jesus, it's Wednesday. Yeah, that's fine. Speaking of which, appreciate the Lord helping me had an appointment with him probably this Monday. And they're going to try me on a different medicine. So hopefully I'll be a little bit of a scatterbrain. Actually, I think it might be the one that Greg is on. So what he was explaining to me is the reason it started me on the one that they started me on is that pretty much that one, either it helps wonderfully and you just have no side effects, or you really have side effects. So there's a method to the madness. But he said there really are some options. I was really afraid that I was going to go. He's going to be like, yeah, well, you know, it's pretty much, it is what it is. But he is fairly confident that he's going to be able to find me something that's going to be, less making me sleepy and getting kind of scattered like I get. I do feel like it's getting better. Like I might be kind of getting used to it, but the way he talked, I may not have to deal with it. I think the way Greg talked, he pretty well. He doesn't really have any kind of much in the way of side effects, does he? Yeah. So just pray for me on that and pray for. Supposed to have an MRI on May 9th. This one I got scheduled. So. And they just want to look and see that, there's nothing, major wrong in there, like a tumor or something. He said there's plenty of times where we never find out what causes it. We see that it's happening, and we know that it's happening, but we don't know why. But so just pray that, they'll find what they should find, and they wouldn't find what they should find, right? I hate for them to look in there and not see nothing. But just running on COVID, what you thinking? But yeah, just if you would, just remember me on that. I want to thank the Lord for helping us. Last night we did have had a meeting. We ended up having it over at Valley because it was fairly central. Whenever some of the stuff about the parental controls and the filtering and everything, I think it helped the folks. We do want to have another one because there were several that weren't able to make it. So I will try to. Stephanie was asking about it earlier. I will try as soon as we arrive at a gate and place and time, I'll try to remember to be sure to mention that in case there's anybody else wants to come. Really appreciate Brother Matt helping me on that, because especially like the phone stuff, he knows way better than I do. Small network stuff, that's what I do. So I think between the two of us, we pretty well kind of have a handle on what's going on. So I always appreciate folks that are willing to help and use the understanding that God has given for the glory of the Lord. So just pray about that God will allow me to be a help. That's all I'm going to do, is want to help people. So pray for that if you would. Always remember a pastor, that the Lord would use him, guide him, remember his health. He's had a few things going on recently. Pray that God would help with that, would help them get finished and get in their house. I know they're They're anxious to get in there and continue to remember Miss Stephanie and the pregnancy there, the help in those things. And are you still doing that? Are you doing okay with, I know the insulin was giving you headaches and stuff. Has there been a resolution on that, or?
They told me to take magnesium and try it out.
Oh, okay.
I also had a severe leg cramp last night in my sleep, so I don't know about that. But not really, nothing much has changed. I talked to my specialist Monday, and they're going to it's not a pump, it's like the thing that goes in your arm and it connects to your phone.
Sensor. Yeah.
To see what my body's kind of doing at night time. But other than that, she was pretty pleased with everything. So she said the third trimester is the most important. So basically, don't stress them to me.
Oh, okay. So I said you got a little time for them, right?
Yeah.
So you're what? Are you nearing the end of the first?
17 weeks. So I'm in the second.
Oh, you are in the second. Okay. Man, time flies when you're having fun.
That
was a modicum of sarcasm there. No, but we do appreciate the Lord that letting this situation come about. Just continue to pray that God would have His will and way in that, be the Lord's will, that He'd just let everything go smooth and everything and give them grace in that situation. Miss Megan too. She's not near as far along as you are. She's still pretty early, I think. Okay.
I know it weighs on his mind. Pray for him about that. He's mentioned being back to church several times, and I have to prodded him. I do invite him to remind him that I'd like to see him there. He said, my brother told him if he'd go, he'd go with him. So he just prayed, the Lord worked out.
Amen. Amen. See, I guess I forgot. I thought your brother lived off somewhere. Is he local?
Yeah. He lives on Guardian.
Oh, okay. I don't know why, for some reason, I had in my mind that he lived off somewhere. Is it Dwayne? Is that his name?
Dwayne.
Yeah, okay. Amen. Remember this. And I continue to remember the Maccabees as they're getting ready to do the fostering thing with what helped them in that. There's still a lot of preparation. He was telling me about some of it last night, but just pray the Lord would use that, be honored and glorified by God.
Remember a girl that works for me? She's having a procedure tomorrow to remove some precancerous atypical cells in her breast. Mm-hmm. Her sister had breast cancer at like age 35 and she's 33. Mm-hmm. So they're hoping just to kind of nip that in the bud and she doesn't have to have anything else, but she'll be out of work for like a week or two. But just pray for her that she'll do okay. She said she didn't do well being put to sleep. So just pray that, you know, God help her with that.
Amen. Remember this. Oh, I did want to mention too, I don't know if I mentioned this. But did I mention about the bill that was proposed to regulate some of the stuff in the school libraries that I talked about?
I think so.
Okay, I'll mention it again. It was this is North Carolina State Level House Bill 636. It was co-sponsored by mine and Christina's representative. I don't know how the districts are, so I don't know if anybody's in here. Also, Neil Jackson, North Carolina House Representative. But it has passed the House. And so I do not know what the status is in the North Carolina Senate as far as, you know, what kind of support it's going to have or whatever. I actually sent the draft language to my uncle because he's involved in the Republican Party, and I was hoping they would have some lawyers as far as the local guys that would be able to look at it and say, you know, is this actually good or does this have some problems with it that can be abused by the other side later on, because that's what we run into sometimes. Sometimes we get what looks like good legislation, and then the ungodly crowd figures out ways that they can abuse it later on. So, but I have not heard back from him on that. But if it works the way that it appears to work, I'm really hoping this is going to give us some ability to get some of this stuff out of our schools. We know, I mean, it's in the Burke County libraries that some of us preachers, I don't remember who it was, that had brought samples, and we were looking at some of the stuff that there was, and it's a bad situation. So just really pray that God would have his own way in that. Because the thing about it is, God doesn't have to be a lawyer. He knows, right? He knows whether it's going to work to the benefit of the church and to glorify him or whether it's going to be a problem. So just pray for that. I always pray for our president. I keep forgetting to go back and look, but what I heard was that he actually made quite a good statement on Resurrection Sunday morning that it was a pretty clear presentation of the gospel. Again, I haven't looked at it myself. Have you, preacher?
Yeah, I heard some of it.
What was it? Was it good for what you heard? Was it? Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of a departure from what we've had, you know, in some recent
last days. Easter, Biden on Easter Sunday was talking about how that we need to support transgenders.
See, I thought it was something
like
that.
We need to celebrate transgenders. That's what he was talking about on Resurrection Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Go 1 year ahead of time, the president has come out there, and, you know, they're having like an Easter egg run in the White House or something like that.
Uh-huh.
He just gets out there and he's not prompted to, and he's just like, hell, he's like, this is about Jesus.
Amen.
So it was, yeah. I mean, I think it's a pretty old thing, but I heard him there.
I believe he closed the statement by saying he is risen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, that's one of the things. I know there's a lot of opinions out there, not that our opinions matter, about whether or not President Trump actually knows the Lord. But what we can say for a fact is whether he actually does or not, God can use this.
Yeah.
Because Paul talked about those people in the Bible. He said, you know, there are people that are preaching the gospel out of nothing but jealousy and trying to get attention or whatever.
Yeah.
He said, but whether I or they, so we preach.
Yeah.
And the gospel is heard, and God can use it. So I say thank God for it.
Yeah.
Amen. So just pray for him, because you ain't going to go wrong praying for the man. You can't go wrong like that, right? Just continue to remember the nation of Israel, that God would give his peace in Jerusalem and that he would help in that situation there. Anybody else before we come around?
First, I wanted me to ask for Chetney. He has to have some surgery on a cyst on his back. It's apparently going to be a pretty big surgery. He has to be out of work for a month, and he pretty much pays his own bills, he pays his own way. also has a lot of issues with his feet, and he's going to the specialist about that. So just remember him.
Amen. Amen. Remember this.
I have a family that she prayed for, and also some special requests for some families that they live in all the house.
Amen.
Please pray for me. And I have a girl in our homeschool community. Her and her husband are divorced. Her kids are really good at ball and sports and stuff. He is fully enrolled them in public school, and she does not. Her heart is homeschooling, and she just is begging for prayers for that situation. So it might not be a big deal to some, but as a mom myself, I can really carry that burden for her. So it's kind of a battle every year for her, and so far, even God's worked it out, but he's just getting more hostile about it, and just really pushy. So just her name's Brady Carpenter. Just if you'll look her up in prayers.
Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, did you hear that from where?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, okay. Amen. Remember, it's about Michigan.
I asked him to pray Sunday for that boy. My brother-in-law's cousin is 20 years old. He's in a real bad car wreck. He's still alive. He's holding on. They've had to, I think they've already done a couple of surgeries on him. They got a few more to do. He's just broke all up. They said he's just unrecognizable. And his mama, my sister, told me that his mama said he just, you know, had a real bad day yesterday and last night. So he's just in a tremendous amount of pain. And so just continue to pray for him, pray for the family. They're good Christian folks. They live up in Virginia. But his name is Josiah.
Said who, somebody's brother-in-law?
It's my brother-in-law, Caleb.
Uh-huh.
It's his family. They live up in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And it's his first cousin's son. So he's his second cousin.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been that little boy since he was really funny.
Already happened. I
think it happened. I want to say it's the first Wednesday, or
maybe on, I can't remember.
Of June?
Maybe it's the last Wednesday of May. That's what it is.
Okay, last Wednesday of May. I'm assuming, is it gonna be at Mount Calvary again?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who it is?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
May 28th.
Okay.
I don't know who's preaching around. Tony Finney and Bobby Stewart and Keith Allison is gonna be preaching in the county.
Amen. Remember these men. Oh, remember too, Preacher Drop was mentioning to me Sunday. I mean, he named off like a half a dozen churches in this area that are without pastors. So remember these churches that God would move in those situations. Whatever that means, whatever His will is, that God would move in those situations there.
Amen.
My
office
comments
decided
that, you know, they'll just come and see the church, but he was talking about President Trump, what he said about Easter and
amen.
How it was last year with Biden. He was talking about that to me.
Amen. That is a blessing. You know, I mean, there's many people, and I realize he's got a choice. I mean, yeah, this one of the things, but man, as many people as he's got praying for him. Let's be diligent, try to remember that. I'm bad to forget. You know, you pray about something for a while and you forget, even with your own family members. Yeah, you think about something else you need to pray about, and the next thing you know, it's driven out of you. We're limited, you know, we're just human beings, but you know, definitely remember this. Amen. And I know I think I speak for the whole church when I say we appreciate your faithfulness.
Amen.
You know, because that's hard to come to church Sunday morning and you know, when we have those services and Wednesday nights and stuff with our spouse. There's been a lot of people that I've seen that just didn't do it, you know. They stay home with them. But you have definitely been a witness, you know, to everybody, really. And we appreciate it. Amen. Amen.
Y'all would pray for Cooper's friend, Connor. Cooper said he told him that he prayed for God to save him back here on the pew Saturday morning.
Oh, amen.
So just pray for him.
Amen.
He said the Lord was putting him under conviction. I think he got saved, is what I think, because he said, because normally he sits around home depressed and stuff when he's alone. He said he didn't feel like that. He said he didn't feel depressed at all. So I don't know if that's any indication, but I think, personally, I think he got saved.
Amen.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
The Bible says, it's
amen.
True.
That is exactly right.
Amen.
So I've been praying for Connor for a long time. And that's a blessing in my heart.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, that's all. So I'm going to pray.
About the fact that you hear and answer prayer. Lord, I pray, God, that you be with those special needs and requests, those hands that's went up, and the ones that was mentioned, Lord, for step being understated. Lord, those special things that only you know about, God, you know those situations. You know that need, God. I pray that you touch and help in them families. God, that you bless them. Lord, that you bring more fruit out of it, God, that you might be glorified, let it be so, that everyone involved knows it was you, God, that you might be glorified. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together on this altar. And I thank you for everyone that's come to share my burdens. I pray, Lord, that you be with us in hand meetings coming up. God, even now, may you prepare me to God as they come to preach. Prepare my heart and the hearts of each and every one of us, God, that we receive your word. Lord, that we hide away our hearts. God, that you be glorified in our lives, Lord, magnified. I pray, God, that you be with each and every one that's got a burden on their heart here tonight, that's brought it to you for a sick friend or loved one. God, that you just touch and heal that individual. Lord, I pray for the ones that's in pain and suffer, God, that ease it and be glorified to do so. I pray for the ones that suffer loss, may bring peace to their hearts. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with our leaders. I thank you, God, for good godly leaders and for good legislation. I pray, God, that you bring more, Lord, to the table, God. Lord, that you help me in the draft and put together, Lord, laws and things that would be honoring you and your word, Father. And there will be no deception about it, Lord. It will all be made very clear with everyone that will see. Lord, that we have it done to you, we will be your learned followers. We thank you, Lord, for love. Thank you for having mercy on us. Help us, God, to be obedient to you, to trust you, and to look for you always, Lord, to live our lives as though you could be here any moment. Lord, we ask this in Jesus.
Amen.
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 He doesn't want your talents. He's God. He don't need your talents.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you've got talent, it's because God gave it to you.
That's right. That's right.
He doesn't need your knowledge.
Right, right.
What would he ask you about? He doesn't need your wisdom.
Amen.
Would he come to you for counsel?
No.
He needs your willingness.
Amen.
That's all he wants from you is to have your willingness. I'm going to get back into this tonight. If you girls want to sing, remind me at the end of service, and you can come sing. I'm excited about getting into this. I didn't get to preach some last week, and I didn't get to preach Sunday, and I'm just excited. I'm going to get into this. Can I just do that? Can I just jump in this? We've been going over some eschatology, just end times and prophecy, and studying on these things. And we've been looking at different things, and the last couple of messages that we looked at was talking about that first 3.5 years of tribulation. That tribulation period, we know, is separated into 2 3.5 year increments, and the first of which, that first 3.5 years, is the time when the Antichrist is coming into power and having control and dominion over the nations and over the world. And then during that second 3.5 years, he will retain some of that power, but also we will see that it will start to deteriorate because God will begin to pour out his wrath upon the earth, otherwise known as Great Tribulation. That Great Tribulation will begin whenever God begins to do this during that second 3.5 years. But tonight, we want to look at the markers that are in the Word of God pertaining to the middle point, the central point of that 3.5 years. And so if you was going to title this one tonight, it would just be the middle of the tribulation. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, is the middle point of the tribulation. We're going to look at some things that are going to happen. And so if you want to, you can stand with me. And we'll begin reading in Revelation 12. I'm sorry, Revelation 12. I'm going to be going back to, I'm mostly going to be in Daniel, but we'll start here in Revelation chapter 12. And in Revelation chapter number 12, and in verse number 13, the Bible says this, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to it, Lord, that you would just magnify yourself in the preaching of your word. Pray that you'd edify us yet here this evening, God, and grow us in knowledge and truth of your word. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to see Lord, the things that are hidden, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd open them to our eyes and our hearts to understand as only you can, God. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, whenever I just read this here, that it says in verse 14, it was given unto her. Now this woman, we know, we went over this, just to recap a little bit, represents Israel during this tribulation period. Now, we understand that it also represents Israel going all the way back to the beginning, because it was through Israel that the Messiah was brought to the world. And it talks about the archangel, Michael, and his angels fighting with the dragon, the serpent, in heaven. But here we see that this serpent, which is the devil, the dragon, the same, one and the same, it says that to her were given wings of a great eagle, that she might fly to the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. In Daniel, you'll read that on several occasions where it says a time and times and half a time. That's referring to a year is the time, times is two more years, and half a time is half a year. It means 3.5 years is what it's talking about. And we see here that the first thing that we're going to see that's going to happen, or not the first thing necessarily chronologically, but the first thing we're going to look at tonight that we know will happen at the middle point of this 3.5 years is that during the first 3.5 years, we know that this Antichrist has been given power to persecute the church that is there because they have been formed, right? Now the church, as we are now, is gone. We've been raptured, we're gone. But there has been one formed. At least there's been 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe. We know about the two witnesses. We're going to talk about them here in just a moment. And the Bible says that there's many of all nations, tongues, and kindreds that will be there in clothed in white that were killed and martyred during that tribulation period.
Amen.
And so we understand that those 144,000 were preaching and presenting the gospel. Those two witnesses were preaching and presenting the gospel and giving prophetic words. And we see that that right now, that although that this dragon, Satan, and the one that he is controlling, which is the Antichrist, is one of his primary focuses during this first 3.5 years has been to bring persecution to God's people.
Yes.
It has been to persecute Israel and to extinguish Israel. We see, and we've talked about this, we can see even now and in times past how that the spirit of the Antichrist has worked to try to extinguish Israel.
Amen.
It's been going on for thousands of years.
Amen.
It's even been on in the last century.
Yeah.
We have seen them try to extinguish Israel. That is from that spirit of that Antichrist.
Amen.
And we see that he will be doing that, and that he's given the power. We talked about those horsemen that are coming, and we talked about how that they are given the ability to have a sword. We talked about the ability to have the balances. There's famine. We understand that that all those who would be able to buy and sell because there's limited resources, they must take that mark. And we all talked about how that the mark we understood was 600, 666, or 666 would be in their right hand or their forehead. We understood all those things. And at this point, we understand this, that he has begun to really drive down on them. Now, before this, notice this, that the majority of Israel is going to be in league with this man, this Antichrist. Yes, absolutely will. Understand this, that to the world, to the Muslim world, then this man will represent some sort of Messiah. I forget what it's called in the Muslim world, because I don't study Islam that much. But, you know, that's what they will think he is. To the Hindus, he will be the Krishna or whatever. And to the apostate Christian world who is left here on earth after the rapture, he will be the Messiah. He will be the Christ. They will look at him that way. And there will be many in Israel, and the nation of Israel, the government of Israel, will be in league with this man. However, there will be a remnant that will convert and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let me go to Daniel. Some of y'all look at me like you don't believe me. Let me go to Daniel here real quick.
Yeah.
Where's Matthew Johnson? Matthew Johnson, you know this stuff. You need to amen here. You need to amen. I know you know this stuff. All right. Okay. Let me back up here. Daniel chapter 9. We talked about Daniel's 70th week, right? We talked about those 69 weeks have been fulfilled. That 70th week has not been fulfilled. And it says in verse 27 of Daniel 9, and it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
Right.
And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
Right.
And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even to the consummation that shall be determined and poured upon the desolate.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward into chapter 11, and it says this. It says, let's see. Let me find it here. Oh, I didn't underline it. it's in chapter 11. I'd have to read through here to find it. I didn't underline. I've got some other stuff underlined. But in any case, it says here in chapter 11 that he will profane the covenant that he made. I see, yeah. Yes. Verse 32, I'm sorry. Daniel 11, 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so he will corrupt the covenant by flatteries. And this is all leading up until this point of that 3.5 year mark. Yeah. And we see that Israel at this point has come to the point where that he has corrupted the covenant that he has made, that he is no longer going to have that covenant with Israel. He is no longer going to have any kind of protection for Israel. And he's going to begin to persecute them, no matter whether they're followers of the Lord Jesus or not. Just the fact that they belong to Israel, right, they will be persecuted. And then we see and understand that they will be hid. Now it says they'll be given wings of an eagle. Now we can go back to Daniel. We can read in the beginning of chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, how it says that at that time Michael will stand up, the archangel, and he will go. And we understand that, you know, Michael also fights in spiritual battles, right? Yeah. Because you can also read in Daniel how that Michael had come to Daniel and he said, "I've been fighting with the prince of Persia," talking about the demon that's in charge of Persia.
Yeah.
And he said, "I couldn't come here to you." And so when it was talking about Michael rise up, it's not necessarily meaning that physical Michael will come to earth and stop the Antichrist from hurting Israel, but that Michael in the spiritual realm will fight and work it out so as Israel can be hid for that second 3.5 years. Why is Israel going to be hid? Israel's going to be hid because that God's going to begin to pour out his wrath upon the world.
Yeah.
Now, going back again to Daniel, I'm sorry, please stay with me. We'll get somewhere with this. We're still just talking about the fact that Israel is going to be hid. That's one of the things that's going to happen. That Israel's going to be taken. They're going to be moved out of the way. They're going to be hidden. And then at the end of Daniel 12, it says this in verse number 11. It says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination to make a desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." That's 30 more than 3.5 years. Okay, so we've got an extra 30 days there. "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days." That's 75 days more than 3.5 years. 3.5 years is 1,260 days, according to the Jewish calendar, which is 360 days per year. Now, there's lots of speculation about this 30 days and this 75 days. And I'm not going to get into it because, like I said, it's just so speculative. We could spend an entire half a sermon on speculation that we have no confirmation for. If you read chapter 12, three different times, Daniel is told to seal up these things. But yet he tells us what he's told. And so it is my understanding that this, okay, I'll tell you this. And I'm going to run a little bit of a rabbit here, but hold on a second. We'll get back on course in just a moment. So this is the way that I see it. And there's many of my peers that would agree with me. That from the first century, I believe that I would never consider myself as great a preacher as Paul. Amen? I can say that. I don't think any of y'all have ever heard so great a preacher as Paul.
No.
Or Peter. I mean, the man can preach. You know, talk about somebody who could really lay something out and make you help you understand that Paul was a scholar, but yet he was so refined as to be able to take lay people like ourselves, old rednecks, and to take deep thoughts and to relay them in such a way that we could understand it. And you talk about preaching and the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter preached 3,000 got saved, man. You know what I mean? Billy Graham ain't got nothing on Peter, okay? So what I'm saying is this, is these men could preach, all right? They had the power of God on them. I mean, these men seen Jesus face to face, right? Amen. But yet, I have a better understanding of eschatology than they do.
Yeah.
That's true. They did not understand the things they were writing as well as we can today.
Right.
And what I'm saying about that is as the time approaches, God is slowly allowing, that's why I prayed when I prayed, said, "God, give us understanding."
Yeah.
Because God is slowly allowing mankind to understand more and more about these prophecies. and as we see them fulfilled. Know this, that we today understand things much more better than they did in 1930. Amen?
Yeah.
Because World War II had not happened yet. 1952 had not happened yet. 1947 right. had not happened yet. We can right. see that these things being fulfilled, right? And so because of that, we can also see that, like I said, in Daniel chapter 12, he says that some of these things are sealed up. And concerning that 75 days and concerning that 30 days, it might be something we just don't understand yet.
Yeah.
But in time, we may, a generation or in future events, that may be able to understand it. And it may only be for those that are the remnant of Israel
yeah.
to understand during the tribulation period.
Right.
It may be something that the church is never meant to understand. But I will tell you this, it is not adding to the 7 years. The 1290, it's not 1290 plus 1335. It is 1290 overlapping with 1335 to still equal the total of 2520, which is 7 years, 2520 days. But in any case, whenever we look at this, and we see that in Daniel, and we see that there's that many days, then in verse 13 of Daniel 12, it says this. It says, but go thou way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot in the end of days. And so it's saying that when it says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days, it says, but go thou thy way. It says that there is a special blessing for making it into that point of that tribulation period. Now, that is going into the point where that it is right before that, because we know that it is the middle point, because it says in the midst of the week, that means the middle point. That is when he will go in and he will bring some sort of mark of desolation into the temple. He will profane the holy, something of that nature. We don't know. It's been speculated that this has already happened in some sense. There was a Greek or Roman, I forget, Persephonius, I can't remember his name. I remember reading about it one time. He went in and slaughtered a pig on the altar. But all these scriptures are pertaining to the tribulation period.
Yeah.
All these scriptures are pertaining to an event that has not yet happened.
Right.
Now understand this, that Satan, he does not have omniscience. We know that he understands scripture and that he can give a good interpretation of scripture.
Yeah.
Remember whenever the maniac Gadara saw Jesus and ran at Pilate's feet and said, are you here to torment us before our time?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Because they understood and knew that this man would judge them. They understood and knew that this man, the Lord Jesus, that he had power over them to be able to cast them out and to be able to cast them into the lake of fire. They understood and knew that. But they also understood and knew that it was not yet their time. They was able to understand that much. But they do not have a perfect understanding. And so they do not understand exactly how things are going to go. So Satan, in times past, has probably had an antichrist individual waiting in the wings. Think about Hitler. Think about these world leaders of such people like that. And how that Satan has worked through nations and individuals. And can I say this? We see how that this antichrist is going to have a false prophet that is going to be proclaiming. Now this antichrist, he is a religious, he is also a political leader. He is a religious leader, he's also a political leader. Can I say this to you tonight, church, that you know, our nation, our country, the world out there will tell you that and they will try to brainwash you, and especially young people and even you older folks. They will try to brainwash you to believe that it is not your pastor's responsibility. He has no business having any kind of political affiliation or giving any kind of political confirmation or endorsement. Hey, let me tell you what, the government has no business telling the church
who
they can endorse. Amen? Matter of fact, the church has never been a business that there is telling the government what is and what ain't. Amen? That's what the separation of church and state is about. It has nothing to do with the government being able to tell the church you got no right. It's got to do with the church being able to say to the government, you got no right.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
And so we can see that comes to a head
during this time. But they are taken, they are hid. Back up in Revelation in chapter number 11, the Bible says this. He says in verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like a little rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. That's exactly 3.5 years according to the Jewish calendar. It says, these are 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of earth. Now, we've read about these men before in a previous time, so for the sake of time, I'm not going to go over it again. But we understand what they're there for. They are there to do mighty miracles and to bring plagues upon the earth according to the will of God. Whenever they speak and say, it will not rain, they'll turn the blood to water. They're breathing fire out of their mouths. Anyone that tries to consume them makes me think about when we was reading the other day about Elijah. Yeah. And you know, the armies, the captains of 50 came for it. And he called down the fire out of heaven. These men are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, in Elijah's day, the Holy Ghost is up here. Amen. And Elijah's down here and he's talking to him. Hey, praise God, this is the scripture to show you the evidence of the power of the blood of the New Testament that God has came to live inside of mankind. Amen. Yeah. Hey, I believe the two witnesses are going to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, they're going to be able to breathe that fire straight out of their mouth and consume their enemies. Now, eventually, they will catch up to them. They will kill them. The Bible says that their bodies will lay dead in the street 3.5 days. And we can read how that they do that. And that is also a middle point of the tribulation period. That is something that is going to happen. And so what's happened? Notice first of all this, that the only people who are preaching, the only people who are left on the earth who are trying to point people to Christ, they are being taken and hid. That is Israel. That are those that have been called, that 144,000, the whole lot of them. Remember the four angels? They had the four winds. He said, hold on till I can seal these.
Yeah.
Remember, he sealed them and he preserved them. Then we see that he takes them and he hides them. That eagle's wings takes them and carries them out and hides them and protects them. Now these two witnesses, God has finally allowed them to be put down. And they've been killed. They've been martyred. But hey, that's not the end of the story.
Yeah.
And we see this, though, that God is allowing his word to leave here. So he's took the church, but the word stayed. And because the word stayed, there's people that got right with God, didn't they?
Yeah.
But now the word's going to go. There'll be no preaching. All that's going. Now, during that time, we've read this so far about this Antichrist figure. Now, let me just read this about the beast. It says here in verse number 6 of chapter 13 of Revelation, it says, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over him over all kindreds and tongues and nations and all that dwell upon the earth to worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So a whole world's going to worship him. And it says, and if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth captivity shall go to captivity. Verse 11 says, and I beheld another beast. And now this one is talking about the false prophet. And it says in verse 12 about him, it says, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, and he does all kinds of things, and he's the one that causes them to receive the mark. We understand that. But everything that we read about this Antichrist, this beast, has got to do with him proclaiming his own power, his own authority, that he claims himself to be God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this of him. It says that he 2 Thessalonians, I'm crazy, don't hit me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, no man deceive, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Yeah.
So we understand that he is not just going to be, this is going to be starting out, he is just going to be basically a universal type of religion where that anybody and everybody can worship him. He will accommodate all kinds, and he will make that covenant with many. Now going all the way back to Daniel in chapter number 7, we read one of the first instances of this where he reads about this beast. And in verse 25, it says in Daniel 7, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time." Now that's still again referring to that first 3.5 years. And until that time, there's some things that are going to happen. He is going to be causing the sacrifices in the temple to stop. There'll be no more sacrifices that are made at the temple. Why? Because the only thing that needs to be worshipped is him. Right? And so he is going to profess that he is God, that he is the Christ, that he is the Most High. It says that he'll think to change times and laws, that he's going to give a whole new definition to what we understand is right. I'm sure that we can see this day and hour how that the Antichrist spirit is already working to change laws so that we can say that the wrong things are right and the right things are wrong. We call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. We can see that now, right? And we understand how that Antichrist system will work. Then we go into chapter number 8 of Daniel, and he says this in verse 11, and I'm skipping over some stuff, and you can go back and you can study this on your own. If you'd like, we could spend a lot of time on these things, and we could really break it down. But I'm just trying to get us an understanding, a basic understanding of this, what's happening during this middle point of the 7 years of tribulation. This is right in the middle. And at the end of this, when I get close to being done, I'm going to give you the application. I'm going to give you the application, what it means for you and I right now, and how that it can encourage us to understand and to see how that God's hand is still at work even in these times.
Yeah.
In verse 11 of chapter 8 of Daniel, he says this, "Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And I heard one saint speaking unto another saint, and it said, how long shall the vision be concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Now, that would be 2,300 days. Now, some people say that that's 2,300 morning and evenings, or 1,150 days, and it could be part of that first 3.5 years. Others have said that it's 2,300 days, meaning that it would be, like I said, part of the tribulation. The entire tribulation would be 2,520 days. But 2,300 days very well could mean from the time that he first begins them to stopping the sacrificing of the people. And now we understand this, that there's going to be a 7 years of tribulation. There's going to be 3.5 years of him coming to power. We understand this, that do not be deceived, that time's not going to come until he comes into power. That man of sin be revealed, right?
Yeah.
We understand that much.
Yeah.
And we understand that he's going to rule and he's going to reign for that 3.5 years. But we see even today that, you know, it's very hard to get things done in a short amount of time. Now, the amount of time in which he is getting things done will be very rapid. Much more rapid than anything I believe we've seen today. We see evidence of that in Scripture, how that he causes them to take that mark. And why is he able to work so rapidly? Because there are famines, because there are pestilences, because there is bloodshed, there is war, there is panic everywhere.
Yeah.
Remember COVID? Remember the panic? Remember how easily that, you know, people are swayed to do things that you just wouldn't think people would normally do? Because of the panic. And there will be much panic in the earth in that day. Think about this. Without the pestilences, without the famines, without the wars, just the fact that the church is gone.
Yeah.
Okay? A good percentage of population of people from the earth have just vanished.
Yeah.
Okay? And it has been foretold and foretold. And I promise you, there will be people here that will say, hey, I've heard about this.
Yeah, yeah.
There definitely will be people here that will say, I've heard about this. And there will be full-blown panic set in because of just that one event. Then on top of that, there will be famines. There will be people that are starving to death. Not Christian folks, by the way.
Right.
There'll be people that are going to war, and they'll be killing and raping and doing all kinds of wickedness to one another, nation against nation. There'll be pestilences, diseases, a whole lot worse than COVID or the Spanish flu or anything of that nature. And there'll be beasts that are beginning to come up out of the earth and devour and to hurt mankind. But we can see how through that panic, he will come into power and he will cause things to happen. But I would speculate that this 2,300 days that's talking about here is meaning from the time that he first stops the sacrificing in the temple, which would maybe not necessarily be right at the beginning of the year, but maybe partly, firstly, into the first year. And that would still add up. That would be two-thirds of the way through the first year if he was to stop at the noon. And then it went all the way to the end of the tribulation period when the Lord Jesus comes back in that battle of Armageddon. Like I said, I'm just speculating here. And like those other days we can't account for, we could spend a lot of time speculating. But we won't. I'm just giving you one scenario, okay? Just so we don't have to leave that stone unturned. But in any case, again, in them we go to chapter 9, and we can see how that he says this. He says in verse number 24, it talks about the 70 weeks are determined. And then in verse 27, it talks about that last and final week. And we just read how that in the midst of that week, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the devotion to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so we see that he has been stopping already the sacrifices and the oblations, but now during this middle point, he will put an ultimate end to it. And it says that he will cause abominations that make desolate. We read that word again. Matthew 24, Jesus refers to the abomination of desolation referred to by Daniel the prophet. And this is what that he's talking about. And it says in verse chapter 11 and verse 31, it says, an arm shall stand on fire, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall make the place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Referring to those who are trying to minister and preach the gospel during those days. And he says, now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen up with little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, talking about the Antichrist here, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now this is another thing that is going to happen during this middle point of the 3.5 years. He has caused people to worship him already. He has already had the false prophet to push people towards him. Now, he has went into the Jewish temple, and he has brought in some sort of heretical figure. He has done some sort of sacrifice. We don't know exactly what it will be, but the Bible calls it an abomination.
Yeah.
Desolation that makes desolate means it makes waste. That means that it corrupts the temple so harshly that it is no longer of any spiritual value whatsoever. That's what it's talking about, is whenever he goes in there because of the corruption and the witchcraft that he's going to bring into this place. Now, whenever he goes in to do this thing, and whenever he's going into this temple, now he has not only said that he is to be worshipped, and that he has magnified himself alongside God, but now he has said that he is above any god. Now it says he does not regard the God of his fathers, Now it says that he does not regard the desire of women, meaning the God of any woman, the meaning that the feminist thing, he ain't gonna care about that no more. Okay? He's not gonna care about, see, before this, let me back up here. Let me bring you in here with me. Let me get you on the same thought track. Let me help you understand how this could be. Whenever he first comes into power, we got to save the earth. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
That's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Whenever he first comes into power, well, Christianity, Muslim, and Jewish is all the same thing. That's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
When he first comes into power. The Hindus are welcome to worship with us. We're all going to worship together. Because we're all basically worshiping the same God. That's the way he's going to be.
Yeah.
He's going to be all about saving the earth. He's going to be all about that feminist spirit. Remember the Bible talked about that great whore, Revelation?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Talks about Revelation over there, the church in Thyatira. Then later on in Revelation, we read about how it talks about that great whore of Babylon, and that there's going to be a feminist spirit to the start of this Revelation.
Yeah.
Or this, I'm sorry, this tribulation period. The time that this Antichrist comes in power.
Yeah.
But now it says this. It says that, so we understand that he being raised as this Antichrist, the God of his fathers doesn't talk about, that's not talking about the God of the Bible.
Right.
The God of his fathers is some apostate God of man's imagination right now. And so he is going to unify the remnant of the world who is lost. Understand, the church is gone. He will unify them under the guise that they are to follow him, and we can see how this would happen, right?
Yeah.
But now, at this middle point, after he's persecuted and persecuted and persecuted, God's removed the remnant, God's removed the witnesses, now he's went into the temple, he's brought this heretical abomination of heresy into the temple, okay? And then he has declared himself that he is not only on par with God, but that he is above any other God. He will not regard the God of his fathers, meaning the one that he intentionally worshipped to begin with at first, nor the one that women would desire to worship, nor any other God. But it says there, and I'm in Daniel chapter 11, by the way, and I was reading down in verse 37, it says, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. He will say that, what else does that sound like? Did we not just read the other week about Satan? And how that whenever he's in heaven, we read that in Isaiah, we read that in Ezekiel, didn't we? Let me think about that. Is that Isaiah 24, Ezekiel 28? Is that right? I believe it is. I believe it's Isaiah 24 and Ezekiel 28. Go home and read that. But whenever we read that, don't read it now. Go home and read it later. I hear some of y'all turn. But whenever we read that, we read how that Satan said that he wanted to magnify and exalt his throne above God's.
Yeah.
He wanted to raise his throne above God's. Now this is the application. This is what I want you to see. This is where I want you to get encouragement from this tonight. I want you to see how that in this, that God has allowed this, God has ordained this, God has brought this to pass so that God can be glorified in this.
Right.
You say, well, how is that? Satanism has reached a pinnacle. Evil has reached a maximum. Do you think that it tricked God at all? That he didn't know about Satan trying to exalt his throne?
Right.
Why didn't he stop him before he started? I believe God gets enjoyment out of his enemies thinking that they're getting somewhere. You say, well, that doesn't sound right. Let me give you some scripture for it. Matter of fact, let me give you some scripture that is talking about the very thing we're talking about right now, that is prophesying about the tribulation period and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about that? And in this scripture that I'm going to give you, it gives us an example of God getting enjoyed out of being able to allow his enemies to think that they have control. Some of y'all probably already know from Psalm 2.
Yeah.
Psalm 2.
Yeah.
I quote it all the time.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite Psalms.
Yeah.
But I usually just quote the first five verses. Because the first five verses are always pertaining to the life that we're in right now. You'll see that in just a moment. It says this, for the first four verses, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Considering that those bands and those cords, they consider basically the gospel, they consider the truth binding on their life. They consider chains and bondage. They consider something that's holding them back. That's why that the transgender movement does not want to hear the truth. That's why the homosexual movement does not want to hear the truth. Why? Because they want to continue to live the life that they're leading, and they do not want the truth to interfere with that. And they want to stop the truth from being spread. And so we see that there's a collusion here. There's a great collusion of the kings of the earth and the rulers. And they're taking counsel together against who? Against the Lord. And against his anointed. Who is that? That is Jesus Christ, and that is the people of God.
Amen.
And it says this, verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh."
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Now let me fast forward. Let me back up. Let me go to that second. But let me fast forward. Keep reading. Because it says, "He shall speak to them," verse 5, "in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." He's talking about the Lord Jesus coming back for that millennial reign. We read the same thing in Revelation 2 about the rod of iron, and in Revelation 19, we see the same thing. And he says this, "Be wise now, O therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when he his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Now he's talking about the Son. This is the Old Testament.
Yeah.
They don't know the Son.
Right.
Do you realize this?
Yeah.
He's talking about the Son, Jesus Christ, coming and ruling with a rod of iron. He is talking about him coming back and taking his position on his throne in the city of Zion. Amen? And we can see here that leading up to that, he says, of course there will be a collusion. Of course the kings of the earth are going to take counsel together. He says the heathen rages. Now, when the heathen rages, he's talking about these kingdoms of the earth that are left without the church, primarily. Now, we can see this happening even in our time to a point, right?
Yeah.
And you can see this scripture even being fulfilled now, but especially during that tribulation period.
Yeah.
And he says that as they get to this point, and as they come into this fruition of all of their authority, and as the Antichrist gets everything squared away. Now, we didn't read it, but you go back and you read, starting in Daniel 7, read through chapter 12. You'll read there how that there's kings and there's nations that come against this Antichrist figure. Things do not go as smoothly for him as he would like. He will have to fight some folks, but he will utterly destroy them. He will absolutely overcome them. But understand this, that it is all part of God's plan. It is not outside of his plan. Matter of fact, while all this is going on, the Bible says that he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. You say, "Preacher, I believe you might be misinterpreting that. I don't believe that he's just going to be sitting back laughing, getting a good joke out of it." It says that he will have them in derision. That means that he will be mocking, that he'll be scoffing the same way that they mocked and scoffed at him whenever he went to Calvary's cross to die for sinners like you and I. Yeah. He says that in my day, he says whenever the man has got man's way, whenever Satan has got to a place where Satan thinks Satan can't be cast down no more, when Satan's got to a place where he thinks that it's all coming together for him, when Satan's got to a place where he's got his name in the temple of God and he's profaned the temple and he's made it desolate, he's laid it waste, when Satan's got rid of the witness He's going to be a savior. Look at that. They really think they're doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still part of his plan.
Amen.
Furthermore, I want to read this to you. And I'll be done tonight. This took way longer than I thought it would. I'm sorry. In Romans, in chapter 9, Bible says this. Romans in chapter 9. Verse 8 says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, that at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Yeah.
What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, so that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
Yeah.
He said that he raised Pharaoh up for the purpose to deny him.
Yeah.
He said, I knew that after the first plague, you wasn't going to budge.
Right.
I was intending on sending all them plagues.
Yeah.
He said, I raised you up for this purpose, where that his power might be made known throughout all the earth, the Bible says. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing form say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God, listen to this, in short, all what I just read is just about this right here. That God, saving is God's business. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not about who you are. It's not about what you've done. It's not about your accolades. It is about the fact that it is God's business. Amen?
Yeah.
And he's the one that does it. He's the only one that can do it. And if you've got salvation, you owe it all to him.
Yeah.
It ain't because of what I've done. It ain't because of any preacher. It ain't because of nothing but the good mercy of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And we give him the praise and the glory and every bit of the honor. But he says this, now listen to verse 22. He says this, what if God, what if, he says, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure, that means put up with, with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared in the glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. He says this, he says, imagine this. You say, well, why has God ordained it that it all has to happen this way? He saved us, why don't we all just go mad? Why has there got to be a tribulation period? Why has Satan got to come in? Why? Right? We think stuff like that sometimes. I do. I'll put it this way to the church in Rome because they was asking questions like that. He said, how about this? God just wants to make his power known.
Yeah.
God's putting up with all this wickedness out here in the world, all the killing, the babies that's suffering, everything else that you see happen. That's not God's fault. God doesn't cause that. But you say he's allowed it. For sure he's putting up with it. He's enduring it. The Bible says with much long suffering.
Yeah.
meaning that that's much patience with suffering. That's what long suffering means. It's a type of patience that requires suffering. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to say this, that God is more patient with suffering than anybody. Not only did he exemplify this at the cross, but he's exemplified this in my life.
Yeah.
He's exemplified this in your life, that he has the ability to have patience and to suffer you to go on and make the mistakes that you make and that I make.
Yeah.
Because he is that good of a God. Yeah. But the Bible says that also he's able to endure all these wicked people. Now, we just read that, how he already knows the ones that will be born again. He already knows the ones that's going to be hardened and the ones that's going to receive mercy. He already knows that the purpose of God according to election might stand. He knows. Amen?
Yeah.
That's his business. He already knows. All right? So we can see that he knows. We can see that it's his business. So why are these still allowed to be here? That it's never, he already knows they're never going to come to him. That all they're going to do is live wickedly. They're going to blaspheme his name. If he comes back and Jesus comes, right now the church is gone, then same men and women will be the ones that are supporting that Antichrist individual. They'll be worshiping him. They'll be bringing about persecution to God's people. But remember this, that God is an eternal being, and he's called us to be there with him in eternity, that this place down here is temporal, and with much long-suffering, he endures all of that wickedness, what he calls the vessels of wrath, that have been fitted for destruction. They've been made for destruction. He says that he puts up with all that so that he might make known the riches of his glory upon you and I, the vessels of mercy that he's afore prepared unto glory. I want to say this, that in the day that we get into heaven, hey, when we get there, it's not just going to be like, well, I was here and now I'm here. It's going to be like this. It's not just going to be like going on vacation and you got a change of scenery or a change of atmosphere. Hey, I want to tell you, we're going to be seeing this world for how wicked and corrupt it is. And when we get over there in that place called glory where there is no more suffering, there's no more corruption, there's no more sin, there's no more wickedness. Hey, I want to say this, forevermore, we're going to sing and praise and give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Lamb of God for what he saved us from.
Amen.
I believe when we see them people cast into hell, I believe that'll be probably the last time we'll ever cry. I don't believe we'll ever cry one tear over one individual that's going to hell. I know. The Bible says that the righteous will rejoice today in judgment and wash their feet with blood of women. We're going to be given a glorified mind to be able to understand justice. But I believe when I look back on my sinful life and I see them people being casted, I'm going to think one more time, I'm going to thank God that should have been me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be saying thank you, Lord, for sparing my soul.
Amen.
He says he's going to wipe away every tear. I believe he's going to come along. He's going to say, son, you're mine. Don't you cry no more. You belong here with me.
Amen.
Welcome into my embrace. Let's get over here to the supper table. There's some folks waiting for us over there. I'm going to look back at that place called hell. And I'm going to look back at this old sinful world. And I'm going to think about all I've come through and what he brought me through. I believe I'm going to join in with them beasts gathered around the throne. I'm going to say, glory, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, now, forever, and forevermore. Amen. I'm just going to be praising him. You say, well, I don't see how his heaven can be that fun. Is all we can do is praise God. I would say, if that's the case, you ought to try putting into practice praising him more down here. You ought to be able to look and see how good God is to you, even in the midst of trials, even while Satan is working his nasty works and doing all that he's a-doing and trying to pull the strings that he's a-pulling. Hey, honey, God's still in control of this thing, and he ain't allowed Satan to do one thing that he ain't already ordained, and there ain't nothing that's going to happen that he ain't getting glory out of. One of the seven verses I live my life by, I've told you this, I've given this to you before, Romans 8:28, the Bible says, for we know, honey, if you've been a Christian for very long at all, you ought to know this, God works all things that are good to those that love him, have been called according to his purpose. I'm glad that I belong to him. I'm a child of the king. Satan may throw at me what he will. He may try to come at me with everything he's got. But I want to tell you this, this place down here is temporary. I'm going to a place called glory. I'll be there for eternity because God made it so.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm done. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't know, maybe tonight there might be somebody that's coming off for some reason. I don't know. Saul, so why don't y'all come sing for us? And jubilant.
Hey.
Why don't I come sing? I want to ask you, have you been down? Has this world beat you down? Make your heart heavy? Has that burden been great on you to see this old despairing world and the darkness that's in it? Yeah, I'm going to say, I'm going to talk to her. Go ahead and say, I'm going to do it. Go ahead and say. Amen. How about that? Victory in Jesus. I don't care, I've got victory tonight. As much as the devil tries to drag me down, this world tries to beat me down, that's something I can still claim as victory. If you need to come tonight and claim that victory one more time, why don't you come and say, Lord, I've been going through a dark time. I've been down. I've been hurt. But I know God has set part of all on your plan. I know it's just ain't nothing but temporary. Claim that victory one more time. If you've been suffering, if you've been brokenhearted, I pray tonight that you'd see God's sovereignty and goodness in your life. That even in the midst of the most trying times, in the middle of that tribulation, at the peak of Satan's power, God's laughing. And part of his plan. It's victory, amen, in the Lord Jesus.
And make the way to walk again, and cause of light to see. And then I cry, dear Jesus, come heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory.
Protect us by your good grace and the journey of service.